Tom, we need more HB toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and I am usually alongside Mike Salmon, but Mike is off yet again in Rio. The Olympics are not over. We'll get him back when the Olympics are over. But in the meantime, my good friend Stephen Julian continues to set in. Thanks for being here again, Stephen.
It is great to be here, John. My master plan is coming to fruition. Third show in a row. I'm just excited to be here.
That's exciting.
I got Mike down to Rio, and I've moved into the North Fulton Business Radio show.
You've unpacked and you're here, right?
I am. I am setting up residence. You can't get rid of me now. I'm like a virus.
Well,
which we'll talk about later.
We will talk about that later. We may have an antidote for that virus later. But in the meantime.
In the meantime, I am here in the Roswell of Infinity Studios. And Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service. And they are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome, John.
Appreciate that. And let's get straight to our guest, right? So today we have Bacha Das from 8D Quantum. We have Tony Trowbridge from Ariance. And we have Hogan Bassey, and Hogan is from Liveful. We appreciate all of you being with us, but let's start with Bacha Das. Bacha is with 8D Quantum. Bacha, let's start out by telling us a little bit about you and what 8D Quantum is all about.
John, thanks for having me here. 8D Quantum, we design smart devices and do all the CAD work that goes in, all the electrical work that goes in, all the back end, the software piece, and put all of this together so that the product works great and looks great.
So you're in client then. Who are you working for? Who are you doing this design work for and this consulting work for?
So our main clients are small enterprises, but also entrepreneurs who have a product idea and they want to bring it to life. And so we help them in that process to bring their idea and put it on a shelf, right? And everything in between. That's what we do.
So you talked about kind of what you do being revolving around smart devices. And it seems like every day that phrase means more and more and more. So can you give us, by way of story or just started listing things, kind of the breadth and the spectrum that of these devices that you've worked with entrepreneurs and businesses to bring to market?
Sure thing. So smart devices are going to be in our world. They already are, right? That's a reality today. If you just take a step back and look at how this came about to be, you know, every time there's been a change in the way we measure things or their accuracy has gone up, it's revolutionized our world. That's just, if you look at the clock, for example, it revolutionized our world, right? So we are living in a time where sensors, which are able to measure multiple things accurately, have become so cheap and affordable that now these sensors are changing our world. But for any major change to take place, it typically takes 5 technologies. And if you see over the past 10, 15 years, different technologies have matured to bring us to this point. So we have the sensors, we have power, we have an abundance of power today, more than we've ever had in the human history. You know, then the IPv6 protocols came in, you know, the internet exploded, right? And our bandwidth has constantly gone up. So all of this has created the perfect storm where we can generate gazillions of data. And now with machine learning, we can actually analyze that data. And without us having to go through it, it's the machines who are telling us, hey, these are our findings. So all of this is bringing about the revolution that we are seeing now in IoT space and in smart devices, be it in medical, be it in industrial, be it in the physical world, the virtual world with VR now coming in. And in the future, this is what is going to happen, where VR and IoT work together. And literally, we are working in medical devices. We're working in industrial device space. So all of these areas we are covering. We are a services company. We are industry agnostic.
We're speaking with Badshah Das with 8D Quantum. Now, Badshah, let's get back to the clients that you're working with. It sounds like that you're working, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, but you're working with entrepreneurs who have a great idea. They've channeled a great technology, but you're helping them design that technology to make it user-friendly to their end market. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
You literally hit the nail on the head,
John. Wow, Stephen.
And you didn't even read it, John. Well done.
So you're absolutely right. So this is what happens, right? People come up with an idea, but idea is the germ, the seed. Execution is super important in that case, right? And if you see, so what we do in that case is we start conceptualizing the idea. And at that point of time, we go wide. And the reason is it's better to experiment at this stage than at later stages, because the further we move into the process, the more expensive, the more time consuming it becomes, changes. So from that, the idea becomes turns into a mechanical CAD design. We are doing the electrical work that goes in, putting in all the sensors. And then, like you said, the human factors, the interaction design, because everything today is built for humans. So whether a person is a right-handed user, a left-handed user, makes a difference. Whether it's a lady who's going to put the product in her purse or a gent who's going to put it in his back pocket, makes a difference. So all of those pieces are important because the product is not going to exist by itself. It exists in an ecosystem. It exists to serve. From there, it moves into prototyping, right? Because all of that is testing. What is working, what is not working, changes are happening. It's a very, very iterative process. And from there, then the entrepreneur makes the decision whether they want to go for manufacturing or they want to go for licensing. And both are different beasts that need to be dealt separately, right? Because if they're going for manufacturing, then there is shipping, storage, distribution, all of that, right? And if they're going for licensing, then they're kind of giving up their baby. So it's a big decision they have to make. And then finally, and probably the most important thing of all when you're bringing your product to life, is marketing. A lot of entrepreneurs, we have to coach them. Like, you know, a product is a product, or it's a hobby till people actually start buying it.
We're speaking with Badshah Das of 8D Quantum. And Badshah, I've got to, it took me about 7 minutes. I've got to show my ignorance here. I'm sure you have competitors in your space. But I'm wondering, as you were just laying out the whole process from idea to put it on the market shelf space, are there a lot of companies that kind of walk with an entrepreneur all the way through? Or if they do, is it very cookie cutter and push them through the square hole that they've got and you better fit or tough?
Yeah, that's a great question. And every company has their own way of doing things, right? And this is a creative process. So it should be this way. So companies who are in the design field want to help their customers and want to make the world a better place. So I know 8D, we do that. And I'm hoping the companies that I know in this space are very, very focused on the user and try the best they can to help out. And they're not looking at customers like, okay, this is one product that's done. They want that product to go and become the next Apple II, right? They want to win that Red Dot Award. That's what they're designing for.
And so you kind of, let's focus on design a little bit, because you walk through the whole process, but when you were talking about design, I've sensed a little more passion in your voice there. how is design bring, because it's, again, it's more than just, any engineers can put a product together, and with sensors and all that kind of stuff, we can make stuff work, but how does design enhance what you do for the clients that you work with?
So if you look at what design has done to our world, it has extended us. in many ways, right? So the focus is completely on the user, like I was saying before. And every product becomes unique because of the design. Because what is the alternate? The alternate is you take a product that's in the market, make another Me Too design, and fight on price. That's the death spiral that Seth Godin talks about. So you undercut somebody, somebody else undercuts you, and nobody really makes money. So the only way you can differentiate yourself in this world, in the Apple world that we live in today, is design. And you know, we have this mantra around AD creation, AD quantum, is if the product is not designed well, it will not sell. So our focus is completely on making it so that the user gets the best experience possible.
So Bajaj, give us a success story, maybe a real life example of someone you've worked with that you've taken their product, refined it, given them the right design, and made them successful because of that.
Super question. And I would, you know, I can talk on this for hours, right? But let me call out the one that comes to mind first. And this is a product called Vortex. So the inventor, Ryan, super guy, right? Just great guy, very smart, very intelligent. He comes out of the financial space, just a serial inventor. So he came to us with an idea, and he's a friend of the celebrity chef Alton Brown. And Alton gave him this idea of, you know, today there are very few ways to thaw meat. Very few ways to thaw meat properly. One, you can put it in the refrigerator. Well, you can put it in the microwave oven and it tastes like leather after it comes out. Or you put it in running water and it wastes water. And if you put it in still water, it takes forever. So can you come up with a better way? And Ryan thought about it and he did. And so he wanted to bring his idea to life. So he came to us with just an idea. And I still have the sketches that we drew on a napkin the first day we met, right? From there, again, we went through the whole process. Ryan, he's a smart guy. He realizes that we cannot stay in a product improvement cycle forever. So the product reached a certain level where it was working great. It looked like a robot. It was a smart device. It measures, you know, how much meat is being put in and knows how to turn the water so that it gets thawed the fastest. He went on Kickstarter. It was a success on Kickstarter. And right now, it's in manufacturing. So Ryan's is a story, which is a very, very, this is how the projects go. They come to fruition. And crowdfunding has become such a huge source of revenue as well as for investment for all the inventors that we work with.
So, Stephen, what I'm hearing here, with all due respect to a big American conglomerate, is that Bajaj brings good things to life. That's what I'm hearing
here. Ooh.
How do you like that?
Too bad you can't trademark that.
I know it.
But you just said it. So it works. Bajaj, normally we like to ask, there are certain questions that get repeated a lot in our kind of shows. And one of the questions that we ask in various ways is, hey, where do you see your business in 3 years, 5 years? But I'm going to ask it to you a little bit differently, because I think where your business goes is probably where sensors and the Internet of Things and the connected world is going. So what's next? You talked about these five convergences. Care to crack open your crystal ball and prognosticate a little bit about where we're going?
Oh, absolutely. I love to do that on Saturday evenings with a bourbon in my hand, right? But we'll do it here.
Well, it's Tuesday morning and I think exactly. There's a glass of water in front of you. So do your best.
Just what you said, right? It is the sensors. All of these sensors are going to become cheaper, smaller, much more power efficient in the future. Bandwidth growing every day. Now we have gigabit ranges at homes. So not even industrial grade, right? Industrial grade is much more. Big data, all of that is happening. I really see in the future that our environment is getting a huge upgrade. Huge upgrade, right? And all of this is leading into robotics. And then possibly so I think that's where AD quantum is going in the future. And even with, I don't know if you follow biotech innovations, where CRISPR is now a reality, where gene splicing is a reality. I think if our environment is getting that kind of an upgrade, it's just maybe time for us too to get an upgrade. So I think that's where we are going.
We've been speaking with Badshah Das from 8D Quantum. Badshah, before we let you go, for those that are interested in what you are doing, how can they get in touch with you?
You know, I can give out my phone number. I don't have any problems at all. It's 678-814-9600. That's my direct line. I carry it always. It's always with me. Of course, you know, on our website, www.8dquantum.com, or email, it's very simple, badshah.das@8dquantum.com. Any of these is fine. And welcome.
Terrific. We appreciate you being with us, Badshah.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
John, did you know that North Point Executive Suites provides office and virtual solutions to fit every business need? Did you know that? John, did you know that?
Yes, I think you're telling me that, though, aren't you?
Yes, okay. And I'm going to tell you more things. With flexible terms and technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you and anyone listening can enjoy all-inclusive rentals without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Their service is second to none. Visit their privately owned locations here in Alpharetta, where our studios are, or in Duluth. And you can see for yourself. Visit NorthPointExecutiveSuites.com. John, at North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.
Terrific. We are in the North Point Executive Suites, and I feel positioned. So thank you, Steve and Julian. And we are now here on North Fulton Business Radio welcoming Tony Trowbridge. Tony is a partner with Arianz. Tony, welcome.
Thank you, John. Nice to be here. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. And so tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about Arianz, what you do.
Well, thanks. New to Atlanta, about 2 years here from the Bay Area. Started the company about a year ago, and we're focused on advisory services, integration, and innovation around IoT and emerging technologies. So a great segue from what Badshah was talking about with IoT and really where the world is going over the next 5-10 years. So our company is really a consulting company, but we help companies really innovate and look at new ways to make them more efficient and also create new services.
So where Badshah kind of takes the idea and brings it to market, you're kind of more helping the efficiency, especially after that process, they're in market and they're producing. And is that more where you guys would come in? Or, okay, I'm going to say it, unpack it a little bit more.
I knew he was going to say it. Exactly. We work with really a medium to large scale companies, really is understanding what IoT, for example, is all about. Everybody says that. You get a good reference from smart cities and smart cars. You hear it every time. You open a book or a magazine or listen to the radio. So we take it to the next level. You know, we really help companies understand what is happening in that space, how it applies to their company, how they can make them more efficient. And really what we're seeing is how companies can innovate. And again, that word gets thrown around quite a bit. But how do you create new services? How do you develop new products and come to the market around these new technologies?
So you're helping businesses who probably, well, you might be helping some businesses who are thinking, oh, that's way above my head and I can't afford that stuff anyway. You're getting them interacting with it and helping their business grow as well as potentially using it in their business.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fantastic. Really, you can help any small company. And here's a couple of good examples. Yeah. Think of Uber. Uber 10 years ago did not exist. I didn't use cabs much unless I was traveling on business and really didn't prefer a cab. Now Uber is part of our dictionary, is part of our vocabulary. Everybody uses it. And now because of technology changes in communication, sensors, navigation, we use it. We don't understand maybe the technologies in back of it, but somebody had a brainchild, you know, 10, 15 years ago and was able to put together the technology. Make it a marketplace, and now it's a multi-billion-dollar company worldwide.
So we are with Tony Trowbridge. Tony is with Arianz. Tony, tell us a little bit about what you call the fourth industrial revolution. What are you referring to there? What does that mean to the average person?
Yeah, good question, John. It's actually a book by Klaus Schwab. He's the founder of the World Economic Forum. Formed back in 1971 in Geneva. A little detail there. Really, we're coming out of the third revolution, which is really the computer revolution. Many believe we're going into the fourth revolution, meaning because of scope, scale, and impact, as Dutch referred to, five technologies that really impact our life. we are truly moving into the fourth revolution, meaning how is it going to impact our lives, the way we interact with others on a daily basis? What does it mean in medical, manufacturing, our home? Nest was bought about a year and a half ago by Google for $3.2 billion because it can control your thermostat and CO2 sensors in your home. So really, many believe we're in that next wave of how technology impacts our world. We want to be part of that. That's really kind of our mantra, is helping really make that come true and make us a smarter world.
So most of the people who listen to our show are small business owners or work with small business owners. So if I'm a small business owner in the North Fulton area and I'm listening to this show, whether live or afterward on our podcast, why would I care about all this talk about the Internet of Things? Why would I care? Okay, I didn't make Nest, so I don't get $3 billion. Dang it. You know, how does it impact me? What do I need to be thinking? How do I get involved in this?
Yeah, that was another great question. And I do think a lot about that. You know, you hear about the Cokes and the Deltas and our big local enterprises, but if I own a coffee shop or if I am a store owner that have a boutique downtown Alpharetta, it's how you have your customers experience what you have to offer. How do I look at my supply chain? How do I work my suppliers to reduce costs and become more efficient? How do I have more impact with the customers that come into my store or coffee shop every day or once a week and have them enjoy the experience more? Whether services can I provide versus coffee and croissants and donuts? Those are things I'd be thinking about. What makes me relevant? And when I look at business, I look at two things primarily. Competition, so, you know, kind of the, you know, what could put me out of business? And then what's going to make me more sustainable, right? So I look at both sides of it. I would want to know how Internet of Things, communications, is impacting both the good and bad side of my business. Then I put on my, you know, the business hat of saying, how do I really make myself more competitive? What are my customers looking for? Do they want faster internet service? Do they want to be able to order on the way to work and learn my habits? So, Steve, you go and stop by Dunkin' Donuts on a Monday morning every time.
How did you know?
I had a feeling you and I both are probably there about the same time.
Monday, Tuesday. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What if? And this is the game we like to play. And this is what business owners do all the time. What if? What if I had a system that I know my customer, who they are, how they behave, what gets them excited, and if I can offer them a special. So Monday morning, they put a little tweet out to you or they hit you up on your phone and say, just by happen, we're having a jelly donut special Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Well, guess what? We just got Steve driving the driveway and we know who you are, where you are, is waiting for you in the window, and you just have to put a thumbprint on a tablet and you've been charged and off to work you go.
I'm in.
Sold.
Next question, John.
So that sounds like customers misbehaving to me. But anyway, so really what I'm hearing, Tony, and again, we're speaking with Tony Trowbridge from Arianse. What I'm hearing is that Internet of Things sounds like a real airy concept. But to me as a business owner, this gets into marketing, business process, my back office, really making my whole business a little bit more efficient around how I deal with my customers and how I run my business. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. What we're saying as a company is emerging technologies impacts every one of us as an individual, as a company, as a society, as a government. You need to understand it personally, commercially, and how we live and work in this world. We are now a global society. We communicate all over the world. More people have access to mobile phones than they have to clean water. Kind of a sad state of affairs. But because of that, very few companies are really exploring and pushing the envelope and helping companies do that. And that's the why that we exist. We're helping companies enable those technologies like virtual reality. We think it's for games at home. Businesses now are starting to implement virtual reality to get a very clear picture, a visual picture of asset tracking. Where are my trucks? Where's my fleet? How's my workflow? Where's the stop gaps in my order process? So virtual reality is here today, not just to play at home.
So if I'm a small business listening to you talk and I'm interested in what you've got to say, how do I plug in with you and how do you work with me Do you come in and work with ideas that I already have, or do you do a profile? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. We start our engagement typically with an assessment. We can't do anything until we understand what makes your business tick, what pain points you're experiencing, really what are your priorities. So we'll actually help lay out a roadmap. And that engagement may take a few weeks, and it may take a few months, depending on your business and orientation, what you want to accomplish. And most of our engagements start with that type of assessment, and then we look at what outcome you're trying to accomplish. It basically is called business process, right? We take a different twist on it. We're looking at the business process, but we're looking at how emerging technologies are there that you can take advantage of. We're not there to help you put in a new order entry system, but we're looking at your complete systems and where, again, emerging technologies plays a part in your future success.
John, that was a good question. I was worried a small business owner would call Tony and go, hey, can you check my Wi-Fi connection? I think it's a little bit down. So that someone else they can call who will do a great job with that, and then you're going to take them to the next level. Now, Tony, I had asked Bacha where he saw the Internet of Things and the technologies going. I'm going to ask you a different question. Clearly, I'm hearing the passion. I'm hearing the knowledge. You're in the forefront. You're really working with small business, any size business to kind of move forward. How did you get started in this? Where did it all begin? How did it start with you starting Ariance?
Boy, I don't want to bore you to death and go back 35 years.
Give me the Cliff Notes version. Give me the exciting version.
Technologist, last 35 years of my life. So my whole professional career has been involved in technology. I was called a programmer back 35 years ago, and today they call them developers. What really gets me going is helping. That's always been my focus because I'm a technologist. I've had several businesses. We started the company really because we got tired of the same old status quo. Big consulting companies do a very good job. Today's companies have to be agile. They have to be efficient. And again, a lot of companies can't afford a very big consulting tab. We want to come in and be efficient. We want to be very helpful. But we also want a roadmap and really be with that customer as a partner. So we take that type of position. And all of us, our whole team is dedicated to helping. That's our mantra in our company. We get excited about our customer success. And we also see sometimes that gem that the company never saw. A lot of times you're so close to your company that you're working in your company, not on your company. We can take that perspective of where technology is today, business process, and really help create a very successful roadmap for companies.
We have a little game sometimes where we keep track of times that guests say, hey, that's a good question. We should say this more often, but I just want to say it. You kind of joke that you could tell a long story about where your motivation came. You gave a great answer because what comes across is you're wanting to help people. So I'm sure that will come across through the assessment and as business owners work with you. So there you go. Word of testimony from Stephen Julian. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Steve.
That sounds great. And we also know that Tony can help Stephen Julian get a jelly donut. But anyway.
Said, what if?
Right.
He said, what if? So right. I'm still on my weight plan. So I'm working on it.
Right. So give us maybe an example, one or two projects that you're working on now, Tony, maybe that our listeners can resonate with.
Sure. This is one around insurance. And insurance is changing quite a bit. The insurance model has not probably changed for hundreds of years. Because of technology now, Steve and I talk about the jelly donut. My driving habits may be different than Steve's. What if I got a policy based on my good driving habits and Steve, being a race car driver out on 400, should probably pay a higher rate? Well, how do we measure that? How do we look at that? Well, there are devices now that can actually sense what you're doing in your car. It can sense braking and speed and turns. And so if you had a device, and it's out there today, you'd be able to have a different policy based on your habits. We're working with an insurance company now, more on the commercial side, to understand how habits and behaviors impact risk. Insurance is all about covering risk and mitigating risk. So we're looking at new ways to bring in, again, I'll overuse this word, but emerging technologies around sensors. We're looking at unstructured data like social media and how that may impact policies and all forms of data to analyze and provide intelligence around as underwriters begin to form policies. We're involved in the project with a couple other companies, and that's an exciting project for us. It's a large company. Take it back a notch and talk about a small company environment. Working with a company that's a service provider. They're a local Alpharetta company, a friend of mine for a couple of years. He's working with data centers, and data centers are providing a footprint for computing and co-location services for companies. In those data centers, heat, temperature is a factor. Water is a factor. But I only go in and service those centers every few months or every 6 months. What if I had sensors in those data centers that can pick up and collect data and pass it back to my system, and I can analyze? Oh my God, we have water filling up under the data center floors. Temperature's gone past 90 degrees. It's allowing us to have insights into our customer's environment. So that's a very practical example of IoT, monitoring and bringing back, then analyzing and looking at how that could impact my customer.
We've been speaking with Tony Trowbridge. Tony is with Arianse. Tony, if someone's interested in being in touch with you, tell them how to do that.
Well, since Bacha gave out his cell phone number, I will too. Not a problem. Don't mind doing that at all. My cell phone number is 417-413-6696. Email is Tony T, so T-O-N-Y-T, at Arianse. It's Arianse.com. And our website is www.arianse.com.
Terrific. Tony, thanks for being with us.
John, pleasure. Steve, nice meeting you.
Good to meet you, too.
We'll meet for Jelly Donuts.
It's already on my calendar. I'll send you the email reminder. John, we heard the Ferratech commercial at the very beginning of the show, and I just wanted to remind our listeners that Ferratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies, and they offer outstanding customer service. Ferratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Ferratech products, so you know that they stand behind their quality. For more info, visit ferratech.com. That's Ferratech.com.
Now that we've covered Stephen's eating habits and driving habits,
yeah,
I don't know what's coming next with this next guest, but we'll find out shortly. We welcome Hogan Bassey. Hogan is the CEO and co-founder of Liveful. Hogan, welcome.
Thank you very much. Very excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about Liveful and tell us about your background. You've got a very interesting and widely spread geographical background, right?
That's correct. This lovely accent that you'll be hearing for the rest of the interview is the best Alabama has to offer. This is the great Southern Alabama accent by way of Africa. So I was born in Anniston, Alabama, and grew up in Nigeria. From there, I've been back here in Georgia, graduated from the University of Georgia, etc. And it's my background in Nigeria that has led me to what we're doing now, which is Liveful. We're a biotech company on a mission to save 200,000 lives per year from mosquito and bacteria-borne diseases. If you want to know how we're doing that, it all started when I was 10 years old. Long time ago, back when I was 10 years old in Nigeria. And so I've had malaria a whole bunch of times. So growing up in this part of the world, malaria is part of life. You're going to get it. It's like the common cold or flu. So it's ubiquitous, so to speak. And not unlike most people in the world, in that part of the world, I got malaria a whole bunch of times growing up. And I have this moment where I'm really frustrated with having malaria. I'm an only child, so I can't go out and play. I can't go to school. You know, my life is trapped at home. And this is the last thing you want as an only child. For those of you who are only children out there, you can relate to my story. So malaria prevents me from doing all the fun things in life that I want to do, including what food I want to eat. So I'm really pissed. And I'm watching this documentary about how acids and bases and chemicals work. And so I get this idea, hey, I can create something to keep the mosquitoes from biting me. If I can get it not to interrupt my daily life, my mom doesn't have to remind me to do it. I can do it every day. And that's the idea. That was the beginning of the idea. So I go into my mom's bathroom, look around for stuff and start playing around. And this becomes my pet project, after school pet project for a few weeks. And I finally created something that worked. It was a mosquito repellent. I thought I was a genius. I'm like, I'm super smart, you know? So, but in that world, there are no mosquito repellents. So I'm thinking, this is genius. I get my friends to try it. It actually works for a couple of hours. And that's the beginning of the story. And that was the beginning of knowing that, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. There's a lot of children suffering from, easily preventable diseases such as sleeping sickness caused from flies, etc., that are easily curable, easily preventable. And I could relate to that story, seeing it around where I lived. And I grew up, I was like, hey, I want to be the pharmaceutical company that created a business model. I didn't think of it as a business model, but got the medication to the kids because people weren't getting it. And that was the beginning of the journey.
So tell us a little bit about how you developed that technology. It's one thing to have that idea as a young person, right? But how specifically did you develop that technology?
So let's fast forward until after I graduated from the University of Georgia, and I'm going and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I've quit what I thought was a dream job, and I'm trying to figure out some stuff. I have this meeting with my mentor that tells me, hey, you got to create a product, because I had a business that was struggling, et cetera, in the distribution side of things and struggling to break even. And I go back to my childhood, idea that I kind of veered away from during college. And I start trying to figure out, hey, does this repellent idea, what's going to make it unique? What's going to make it special? I started reading a lot of scientific journals. Given that nothing has really changed since I was a child. Nothing has really changed. There's still no mosquito repellents. You can barely find anything in the market space all across sub-Saharan Africa and in a lot of different parts of the world. And so this starting scientific journals, I ended up creating the first prototype. At that point, the idea was to bring a mosquito repellent together with an antiseptic. See, growing up, I had a lot of water scarcity issues. So during the dry season, all the wells would run low. You barely have any water. I had about 12 ounces of water to take a shower with. And you can take that, and we joked around, we called it rub and shine. That was what all the kids called it. It was really funny. It's like, you get to class, you don't smell, you're just hitting puberty, right? So it's like all kinds of smells are coming out of you that you didn't know existed. And so you use rub and shine to clean up. And I thought to myself, hey, if I had a mosquito repellent at that age that kept the mosquitoes away, that got me clean, how amazing would that be? Mothers, on the other hand, have a more difficult decision to deal with. You have limited clean water supply. You decide, am I going to cook? Am I going to drink it? Am I going to clean my children? Am I going to wash my clothes? And most of the time, you eat it first. You're cooking with it or you're drinking it. And children and laundry falls at the bottom of the list. And children get bathed with unclean water. They get diarrhea. And they die from something that, it's very easily preventable. It's something that should have been killing people. And it kills more than twice as many people as malaria, the most dangerous disease in the world. As we know it from the most dangerous animal in the world, mosquito, diarrhea kills more than twice as many people as that. Isn't that crazy?
You said something in the story about how over in Africa, there's not a lot of products like it. Mm-hmm. So normally we ask small business owners, hey, tell us what sets you apart from your competitors. So the very first thing I'm thinking is you don't have any competitors because you said there's such a lack of stuff over there in that marketplace. But then I start thinking, well, I was spraying off on my kids this weekend as we were going outside to play. So clearly there are products. So where's the disconnect and how do you fill that gap?
Okay,
with your product?
So we've been talking about the developing world where we are going to go save 200,000 lives per year up to this point. We still have a market here where there's a problem. So talking about the product development process, we start off with this repellent. It has nothing special with it. We're reducing the absorption rate, trying to make it as safe as possible. At this point in time, we're using DEET, the standard product out there. We combined it with an antiseptic. We went out there and tested it. We don't have a wild product yet, but at least the concept has been tested. And this is important for any entrepreneur. You create your minimal viable thing, create a concept, go test it out. So what we have how are we getting to that market? It's still really expensive to get there. It's really far away. Let's start here in home plate. And we started going through this process. And this is where I meet my co-founders. His name is Tycho. He's got this encapsulation technology. And for those of you who don't know what encapsulation is, it's a control release mechanism. Encapsulations are pretty much reserved for the high-end market, pharmaceuticals, high-end cosmetics. So he's got this encapsulation technology that he's using in the cosmetic world, and he's done some preliminary tests in the repellent world. And so we meet, and it's like love at first sight business style. So we're like, hey, our visions for the world match, right? And so he takes this encapsulation technology, and we started working at University of Georgia to do some of our tests and our early prototypes, et cetera. And we created what we now have today, is this encapsulation technology that makes the repellents far safer than what they are right now. It's not that they're not bad, but there's a mile to go. So let me tell you how mosquito repellents work today. You take a mosquito repellent, you put it on your body, and it's supposed to overload the skin. Overloads most of it is going to absorb into your body. And when it overloads, you have a little bit remaining that repels. So you get up to 50% of that absorbing into your body and wasting away. That is not the most healthy thing. Most of the repellents you're going to go buy off the shelf, they erode plastic. Really, is that one you want to put on yourself? You know, is that what you want working on your body? With our encapsulation technology, you reduce the absorption rate. It keeps a lot more on top and then evaporates. That's the way the control release technology works. And so now what you can then do is by reducing the absorption rate, you get something more safer, more effective. You don't have to use a higher concentration rate. So normally you have to get higher concentrations to make it last longer because so much of it is going to absorb.
So you start here at home plate, as you said, and mm-hmm. you're building a better mousetrap. You're yes. building a better mm-hmm. product that's going to work better than the sprays that I used on my kids that erode plastic. Thank you very much for giving me that image, but it is truth and I need to hear it. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit. And so then the antiseptic side of things, this is just a wipe, you know, kind of talk about that product a little bit.
So yeah, it's a wipe. And the reason why we added the antiseptic, not really for this market, but for the developing
right.
world.
So
and
it combines.
So it combines. So in the developing world, when we release it in that part of the world, the reason why you have the antiseptic is, first of all, there's the water scarcity issue. But there's an adoption issue as well. So the reason why people are not using mosquito nets and all those different things is that it doesn't fit into people's daily habit. Imagine if someone from Africa came to America and told all Americans, look, the cold is destroying your life. It's costing you billions of dollars. It's killing people. The flu is destroying the world. You guys got to put this net over your head and you're going to be better. So when you sneeze, you don't transmit it to other people. That's basically what the world is going when they go to Africa and all these other parts of the world in Southeast Asia, et cetera, to tell people use mosquito nets. That's what's happening. It does not fit into people's daily life. So what is an action that people want to do on a daily basis? They want to clean. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to have that pride in their personal hygiene. So you and combine this with an antiseptic, you get this immediate gratification when you put a wipe on your body. So our product is topical to make that clear. So you put it on your body, the antiseptic cleans it up, and it reinforces daily use. So again, we've got this encapsulation technology, which is our secret sauce, makes the repellent far safer. We've moved a step above that, I should add. We've partnered up with Merck. Merck has a DEET alternative called IR3535. It's a biorepellent. It's the only repellent out there that the CDC, et cetera, will tell you that it's safe to drink. So it's a duplicate. It's bioidentical to a naturally occurring amino acid. And so basically your body treats it like it's natural. The environment treats it like it's natural. So, and then we encapsulate that. And what that does, once we encapsulate it, let's say we take 20% IR3535. Normally that gives you about 6 hours of protection. When we do run our studies, we're getting 16 plus hours of protection with that same concentration level. If you took DEET at 20%, at best it's going to give you around that 6 hours as well of protection. It's pretty amazing.
You know, John, I wish over here at North Fulton Business Radio, you'd get some experts to come on the air who can talk with a lot of knowledge because, you know, this is just surface stuff that we're dealing with.
Yeah, we went from jelly donuts really deep, didn't we?
Well, yeah, you were wondering what he's going to save me from. He's going to save me from everything. I mean, I'm going to be cleaner and I'm not going to get bitten by mosquitoes and I'm not going to erode like plastic. I like this guy.
He knows what he's doing, right?
And we're going to save 200,000 lives a year. I like that the best.
Uh-huh. But there's one word I haven't heard that I'm sure our listeners may be thinking right now is Zika, right? So talk a little bit about Zika because that's the hot concern that people seem to have these days.
Yeah, Zika is such a big deal. And the way I see Zika, it's like the great equalizer. So the problem with Zika has been what the rest of the world has been dealing with malaria. So the same birth defects that you get from Zika virus, malaria causes those same birth defects. People don't know this. You can get brain damage from that. And it's a very scary thing. It's super scary. So imagine that the fear that we're facing here with Zika virus is what's considered normal in other parts of the world. Doesn't that blow your mind? And so that's the innate fear of Zika virus and what it's causing. And so we're potentially using a product that could create a similar kind of most of the products that we're currently using on the market could potentially cause a similar harm to your child, to your unborn child as Zika virus is causing. So when you use that, there's been studies by the University of Cornell that shows that overexposure of DEET could potentially cause some harm to a young child, nervous system damage, et cetera. And you will ask me, well, why is the CDC saying it's safe? Well, to answer that question is that because most people are only going to use a repellent about 10 times a year, which is, in those circumstances, is safe for you. But with the Zika virus, we're going to potentially be using it more than 10 times out of the summer. At that point, you're moving to some seriously high use rates.
You know, we should have sent a sample of Hogan's work down with Mike and have him be a test subject in Rio and back and give us all the wonderful details of how it worked.
I think that's a good idea from Trey, and I think maybe we need to send some down for Mike to make sure he gets back with us.
A little right? gift basket.
There you go, right?
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. So one final question before we let you go, Hogan. Tell us about the addressable market, because it sounds like there's a bigger market here than just some third world countries that where malaria is an issue. You've opened it up a little wider, it sounds like, with your last answer.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things with talking about the addressable market. So we're now in a situation because of the inherent risk of Zika and what we could be using to prevent it. People are now looking for alternatives. So you're seeing all this research out there. The unfortunate news is that most of the natural products, nothing works as good as DEET. So now we have this opportunity where we could have a product that is bioidentical, you know, exactly as what is a synthetic version of a naturally occurring compound that could perform twice as effective or over twice as effective as some of the leading brands out there. So that's very exciting news to the consumer once we get this to market by next summer. So that's what's really cool about this. In comparison to the developing world, let's put this in perspective. The U.S. is only 2% of the global repellent market. And the reason why it's 2% is because we can spend so much on it. Our disposable income is much larger. Somewhere like Nigeria, where I told you can barely find a mosquito repellent, is already half the size of the U.S. market. Isn't that crazy? Wow. And it's barely been touched. Brazil is half the size of the U.S. market, and it's growing at 10x. So very soon, Brazil and these other places where the growth rate and the opportunity is so huge, it kind of puts that in perspective a little bit.
This has been great, Hogan. So for those that are interested in what you're doing, tell them how to get in touch with you.
I'm going to shamefully admit this. I'm a millennial, so I'm not the best with the phone. So I text message everything. So the best way to reach me is actually via email. Is hbassey, H-B-A-S-S-E-Y, at livefull, livfull.com. Is that's a good way to reach me. Or you can get to us through our website, livfull.com, and reach us through our contact list. We'll get you in our database. And as we progress, we'll give you some updates. Once the product is about ready to launch, is a good way to learn about us.
But if we really want to tick him off, we can find his phone number and call him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. My phone number, if you must.
No. It's okay. It's okay. They were given a challenge, you know. So you said, this is who I am. So that's okay. Yeah. Don't give it out.
Yeah, it's all.
Make people work for it, Hogan. That's okay.
That's right. It's all good, Hogan. Hogan Bassey from Livefull, founder and CEO of Livefull. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, Stephen, a couple of things before we go.
Yes.
Apex Signs and Graphics. We enjoyed the Apex Signs and Graphics wall here in the studio, and Apex Signs and Graphics provides unique commercial outdoor signage, indoor signage, vehicle wraps, and graphics. And they also offer large format printing services. They work with customers nationwide, as well as customers locally here in the Atlanta area, North Fulton, Cobb, Cherokee, Forsyth, and Gwinnett counties. The goal of Apex Signs and Graphics is to make your marketing pay. They are in the business of graphic communication, and their products sell your message. It's this message that creates top-of-mind awareness and causes your customer to buy from you and to buy from you repeatedly. For more information, go to apexsignsga.com. We have one final announcement and reminder for everyone. The Alpharetta Business Expo is coming up on August the 26th. Stephen.
Yes.
Along with Mike.
Yes.
Assuming he makes it back from Brazil.
I have faith. He's going to make it back.
We'll be there to interview folks that come to the Alpharetta Business Expo. And we will also that day have a startup showcase that starts before the expo at 9:00. Those will include a number of startups in the Alpharetta area, including Hogan.
So love it.
Hogan will be there presenting along with several different startups. And that, for more information on that whole event, go to www.alpharettabusinessexpo.com. jellydonuts.com. I'm not sure if they'll be serving jelly donuts that day. So
I just want to go to the startup thing, and when Hogan finds people to put into his invest in his company, he gives them his phone number and allows people to call him. And then he and I will enjoy a jelly donut together that Tony helped us find.
It could be that he just doesn't want you to have his phone number, Stephen. That may be what the deal is, right?
You know, okay.
Okay. So that he may not care about our listeners having it. He just doesn't want you to have it, right?
Well, I'm used to it by now.
Okay. Good deal. Good
deal.
Thanks
to Trey.
Well, thanks again to our guests for joining us today. We've had Bacha Das. Bacha's with 8D Quantum. We've had Tony Trowbridge. Tony is with Ariance. And we have had Hogan Bassey, and Hogan is with Liveful. Just a reminder that you can listen to this show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30. And if you miss any of our live shows, you can find us on iTunes or online at northfulton.businessradiox.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at NorthFultonBRX. For our producer, Trey Odom, and for the aforementioned Stephen Julian.
Everybody come to the expo.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.